Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 through 66. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they may put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, who knew no sin, but was made sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him, dear fellow redeemed. During our Wednesday and Sunday Lenten services, we have been following Jesus on the road to Easter. Our journey began at Bethany on the eve of Palm Sunday. At the home of Simon the leper, Jesus was honored with love and anointed for his burial. Two individuals recognized the difference that Jesus had made in their lives and seized the opportunity to honor him. In the same way, we also should not procrastinate, but seize the opportunities to honor Jesus as they arise. On Tuesday of that week, Jesus taught us a lesson about faith. He cursed the fig tree on his way into Jerusalem. The tree was loaded with leaves, but barren of fruit. Jesus wasn't angry with the tree itself, but with what the tree represented, the religious establishment of Israel. They had plenty of leaves, but they were barren of faith. And God is looking for fruits of faith in our lives too. He is looking for repentance and faith. On Thursday night, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. Then he led them to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was crushed with the terrible burden of our guilt. And Jesus earnestly prayed to his Father in heaven, and he got an answer. It was the will of his Father that the cup of bitter suffering be pressed, not to the lips of us who deserve it, but to the lips of Jesus, our Savior. And emerging from prayer, Jesus rose to meet his captors, with Judas at the lead. Jesus loved Judas and tried to lead him to repentance, but Judas had fallen for two of the devil's biggest lies. First, that he could follow Satan and Jesus at the same time. And the second, that his sin of betrayal was too great for Christ to forgive. How sad that a disciple should lose his faith and die in unbelief. In this past week, we saw Peter hiding his identity before the crowd in the high priest's courtyard. It took no effort at all for Peter to deny Jesus. His third denial even coming with cursing and swearing that he didn't even know the man. But a crowing rooster and a look from his Savior led Peter to repent and trust in God's grace. Unlike Peter, Jesus was faithful in his testimony, even though it would cost him his life. And today our journey leads us through the first of two courtrooms where Jesus must appear. Now, if you've never heard about this trial or never read about it, you probably wouldn't believe what happened here. This is the Supreme Court of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the highest religious court of the Jews. And it is made up of the most eminent members of the Jewish society, the chief priests, the elders of various tribes, and the scribes who were the experts in the law of Moses. And what kind of verdict would they render on Jesus? On the road to Easter, Jesus is condemned by the church and charged with blasphemy. There was nothing about this trial that was actually legal according to the Mosaic law. In the first place, night trials, which were outside of the public eye, were not permitted. This was to protect the innocent party from an unfair trial. And the mere fact that 70 members of the Sanhedrin could be assembled in the middle of the night to conduct a trial tells you that this trial was prearranged and its outcome predetermined. Obviously, the members of the High Council were on call. There was no social media or cell phones in those days. But the moment the temple guard was sent to arrest Jesus, the religious authorities sprang into action. And in this case, Caiaphas, the high priest, who was the mediator of the trial, would bend the rules. Not only was a night trial permitted, it was actually preferred. A trial during the day would bring too many honest witnesses who would testify to Jesus' defense. Now, in any judicial court, you are not allowed to arrest someone and then drum up charges to charge them with after the fact. But that is exactly what happened that night. They arrested Jesus, and then they hired witnesses to perjure themselves on the stand. But they really had no other choice, did they? There were no witnesses who could bring an honest charge against Jesus, because they knew he was truly innocent. Even with so many false witnesses, they could not agree with each other. And finally, when two came forward and claimed to witness Jesus' word, saying, "This man said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" But even then, their testimony did not agree. Even then, they didn't even quote Jesus' words correctly. These words come from the first time that Jesus cleansed the temple. And the Pharisees asked him, "By what authority are you doing this?" And Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again." John tells us that Jesus was not talking about the temple that was built in Jerusalem. He was talking about his own body. He was predicting exactly what was happening that night, that the Jews would kill him, but on the third day he would rise from the dead. And despite these two witnesses not agreeing, despite the law of Moses saying that testimony had to be thrown out, Caiaphas jumps on this line of questioning, demanding an answer from Jesus. But Jesus knew the falsehood of this claim, and he remained silent. Caiaphas is fed up. He stands up and says, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And when Jesus answered in the affirmative, Caiaphas tore his clothing in a display of pious rage and charged Jesus with blasphemy. Cosmetically, it looked genuine. It appeared that Caiaphas actually cared about God's name and honor. And his actions probably went a long way in convincing any undecided members of the Sanhedrin. And their verdict? All but two agreed. He is guilty of death. It makes you wonder, what was going through Jesus' mind as he saw these proceedings unfold? Did he think back to the day when he established the priesthood on Mount Sinai? Every Old Testament priest was a representative of God, a mediator between sinful people and the Holy Lord. Every priest carried blood to the altar to be sprinkled as atonement for sin. And the high priest did even more. He alone passed through the thick veil in the temple that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelled. So he alone stood in the very presence of Jehovah on the Day of Atonement. And right now, though Caiaphas didn't realize it, Jehovah was standing in the very presence of Caiaphas, and Caiaphas charged him with blasphemy. As high priest, Caiaphas was responsible for the spiritual matters in the nation. He is the one who sent the delegation to John the Baptist to ask him, "Are you the Christ?" He is the one who investigated Jesus during his ministry. But he was so appalled that Jesus would dare call him to repentance that he looked for a way to eliminate him. When the elders worried that their influence over the people was slipping, Caiaphas had an answer. "It is expedient that one man die for the people." And here, in the name of God's church, Jesus himself is charged by the very man who was a type of picture of him, the great high priest. And it doesn't take a detective to figure out who is really guilty of blasphemy. Now, it's not too hard to see the same blasphemy today, is it? Obviously, we see it in the world all around us, but we also see it in the churches. Have you ever watched a preacher or read something by a religious leader that condemns a kind of Christianity that says only fruits of Christian faith are pleasing in God's sight? Or maybe you've heard it put this way: "I believe in a loving God, and there's no way he could sentence someone to hell just because they don't believe in Jesus. All religions have merit." But isn't that a spit in the face to Jesus? Blasphemous to the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How about we look in the mirror of Caiaphas? And don't we have to confess our own blasphemy as well? Every time that we dare to question God's will for our lives, Every time that we fail to keep Him, take Him at His word and promise, every time that we seek to get others to go along with their sinful words or actions, every time we are being blasphemous to the name of our Lord. Every time we know God's will and then choose to follow our own ideas instead, we are no different than those members of the Sanhedrin. We too spit in the face of our Savior, the one who said by inspiration in the Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Though he didn't know it, Caiaphas was in fact functioning as a type of Christ when he passed the sentence that night. And in one way, the charge of blasphemy was actually right. Jesus was innocent, yet he became a blasphemer, an adulterer, a liar, a thief, a murderer. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus became guilty of the blasphemy of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the adultery and murder of David, the stealing of Judas, the lying of Peter, and every failure we have to trust his will and every other sin. In just a few short hours, the sun would stop shining and darkness would cover the earth. The thick veil in the temple that had separated God's presence from the people, through which Caiaphas had passed annually to offer the sacrifice, would be torn in two. The earth would shake, the rocks would split and mourn at the death of its creator. And the judgment upon all of man's sin would fall. Not on those who deserve it, but on Jesus, the innocent Son of God. Because yes, God in heaven had quietly agreed with the counsel of Caiaphas, the high priest. It was expedient that one man should die for the people, so that the nation would not perish. God had chosen from eternity to send His Son, the true high priest, to shed His own blood as an all-sufficient payment for our sin. Jesus became guilty by decree. First, the wrongful decree of Caiaphas, then by the holy and loving decree of your Heavenly Father. If only Caiaphas had kept in mind what his work foreshadowed, he would have recognized Jesus as a Messiah. When he tore his garments in anger, he was inadvertently fulfilling a wonderful picture that the Old Testament priesthood had come to an end. A new and higher priesthood replaced it, one with Jesus as our high priest. One that rests with Jesus, who offered the final sacrifice for us. And we were reminded of this just 2 days ago in song by the ILC Tour Choir. His robes were mine, such anguish none could know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone, I as though he embraced and welcomed home. On the road to Easter, Jesus was condemned by the church and would be charged not just with the blasphemy by men, but with all sin by God. But you are redeemed and forgiven forevermore. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.